Back to center ice. Hodas mishandled it. Comes Rindy Gregg. Rolling puck. Gregg works in. Jones scores! One-handed Rindy Gregg. And it's 4-1.
That was sweet. Rindy Gregg, how you doing? Showing the speed and the power to take advantage of a puck that slides through Hodas and fends him off. Oh, my. Not only... He possessed it on his backhand, and most guys would have to shove it on their backhand. But watch, one-handed, he stick-handles it to his forehand, and then flicks it. He changes the angle and flicks it. Well, well, what do you do? That is a beautiful goal from Rindy Gregg.
I don't know if I'd call that a Connor McDavid move, but definitely got fortunate with the lucky bounce, and then kind of just was fortunate to get it in.
TSN 1200.
Well, if you're looking for a highlight from last night's 5-2 victory, Canada over Latvia, Rindy Gregg's goal certainly was one. Welcome back. Hour 2, TSN Morning. Sleeper Sage in for a vacationing JR. Simmer in his rightful place. A Big Red Cam also here. Matt Hamer on vacation. You heard Mike Johnson loving that goal from TSN and then a little bit from Rindy Gregg. 5-2, the victory. Canada opens up the World Juniors against Latvia, and they are right back at it tonight, Simmer, against Slovakia. But a nice, tidy piece of business, I think, yesterday. They finally got their legs in the middle of the game. They scored some big goals. They dominated. A little bit of a scare, maybe, at 1-1 in the middle of the second period. But they ended up being the better team yesterday, and that Rindy Gregg goal was a highlight reel goal.
Yeah, it really was. And fun if you're a Sens fan and watching Rindy Gregg, you know some of the aggression. Ran into a little penalty trouble there. A couple of reaching penalties. I don't think anything a big deal for Coach Cameron, but it is the goal itself. It is the speed. It is the intelligence at both ends of the ice. But the part I really like, although I would say maybe coming out of his zone, maybe to get away from the backhand sauce all the time, as he's saucing that up there nicely and versus the forehand.
That doesn't work? Backhand sauces up the middle of the neutral zone?
No. To his winger. He's actually fine, but he has a great set of hands, and it's really refreshing within the inside the offensive zone. In the tight areas, Lee, he makes some really nice plays with the puck. That's the part you're looking for if you're talking about a guy in the National Hockey that can do things. So, yeah, if you're a Sens fan, you're excited to watch that last night. And from a Canadian perspective, yeah, not a great Latvia team. We're still feeling the club out. And I think the real key is it's not easy to play against these teams that just fall back and basically have five men in front of you. Can you get enough cohesion? And I felt that one as the game went on, where you can hit the late guy entering the zone. You can start circling and making some plays. That's what kind of separates as you get further in the tournament is, hey, how do you get inside on some of these teams that tactically are just basically playing to survive, almost playing a soccer style? And that's what we saw with Latvia last night.
So Rindy Gregg, a goal and an assist. Zach Ostapchuk had an assist as well, another Sens prospect. Here is Rindy Gregg in conversation after the 5-2 win for Canada over Latvia.
Rindy, first of all, congratulations on player of the game. Quite the goal you scored there. We're in the house of Connor McDavid, and that kind of was a Connor McDavid move. Did you save it for that?
No, I don't know if I'd call that a Connor McDavid move, but definitely got fortunate with the lucky bounce, and then kind of just was fortunate to get it in.
How comfortable were you getting with your linemates in this first game and in front of the crowd here tonight?
I was a little bit nervous at the start, kind of in warm-ups, but you get a couple shifts under you, and then you go from there.
Game was tied 1-1 halfway through the second, pretty close. What was the chatter like on the bench?
Well, after the first period, we kind of regrouped, and after that, we kind of went from there and kind of took off halfway through the second.
Coach said that team identity is fast and physical. How do you feel the team executed in terms of that?
I think in the third, it definitely executed that better. And I think we can only improve from here. So I'm looking forward to the next couple games.
So you laced some big hits in a pre-tournament game as well in this game. Do you expect to continue to bring that kind of physicality?
Yeah, whenever I can get a chance to maybe lay somebody out, I'll look forward to it. And
we'll keep an eye for it. Congratulations.
Sounds good. Thank you.
Rindy Gregg in conversation with Tessa Benum, courtesy of TSN, and the Connor McDavid move that they were talking about. Rindy Gregg got a breakaway from kind of the blue line in as he cut to the net. Simmer was on his backhand. The puck bounced a little bit on him, and with one hand on his stick, he ended up going backhand to forehand and putting the puck past the Latvian goaltender. He did get a little bit fortunate on the bounce, and I think you heard there, but also it was a pretty spectacular one-handed play.
Yeah, and that's the fun part. You got a guy out there that appears to be having some fun. Now, we have to remember, Lee, that he is aging out here, and that's a young Latvian team, so he is certainly mature, but hey, there's a nice edge to him. There's a nice cocky feel, and as somebody pointed out to me, well, I'll actually say his name, Dave Poulin last night, mentioned, boy, it's going to be fun down the road here to be able to put he and Brady Tkachuk out on the same line once in a while to stir things up or come playoff time. What is not like to like, and for where he was picked, another real great pick by the Ottawa Senators.
Yeah, 28th overall, and, you know, for a guy like Ridly Gregg at the center position, boy, they're young, Simmer, mm-hmm. but it's looking deeper and deeper here for the Ottawa Senators. And I saw a lot of prognostications as far as the center position and people looking at the depth of all the organizations. How would you evaluate Ottawa's depth at center right now?
Oh, well, you're in a great spot, Lee. I mean, what's not to like? I mean, maybe you don't have Connor McDavid or Austin Matthews, but you got Stützle to Norris to Pinto. And where does Ridly Gregg fit in? Well, he doesn't fit in anywhere at the center ice right now. So assumption is he makes this hockey club that unless something major changes in the case of a trade, I don't see any other, I guess to my point, Pinto a possibility of going to the wing, Lee, but I don't obviously see that with Norris or Stützle again. But hey, it's a really nice problem to have. This guy's a really nice hockey player, and I look at him as a future top six forward. So what's not to like if you're the Ottawa Senators? And I think it's also just trying to figure out, Lee, as it all kind of comes together, what level are you at? And nobody, as I said, it's funny how people don't want to, you can't talk about this guy with this upside, or, you know, you look at Ottawa's group, well, they're okay, they're missing some things. Hey, let's see here in the next 12 to 24 months what everybody looks like, how good. We are all very bullish here in the Ottawa market and a lot of the players, but I don't think you could ask for a whole lot more as far as what is in the system, what is ready to play, how quickly a guy like Ridly Gregg has fast-tracked him. Like I said, just have to be super optimistic. And you know, and again, I like to hammer on the Montreal fan base, but I couldn't find the Roy guy last night. And when you talk to them, you know, you've got Slavkovsky, who's a boy, who should be at the World Junior. You know, you start to count up every prospect is going to make it, and a lot of them aren't even great prospects. For Ottawa, they've had a major graduation, and you still have the JBDs, the Thompsons, the Arventes, the Greggs, other players that are very close to playing in the National Hockey League. That's when you know you've done something pretty good here as far as work. And I won't use the term special yet, but it's trending in a great direction.
Yeah, and I think what I like about Ottawa's depth right now is that it kind of feels like guys that we don't talk about that don't have that huge upside, the Mark Kastelics, the Angus Cruikshank. I think he was on pace to, you know, maybe do some things in the National Hockey League before he got hurt. They do have a couple of depth guys that you think if they're able to round out the group, that you really can start talking about the overall depth of the Senators. Now, I don't know how JBD and Lassie Thompson and these guys are going to work out on defense. I still think that there's a couple of holes on the defense core in the next few years. Mm-hmm. But if they're able to shore some of that up, right now their forward group is looking pretty good, not only here in Ottawa, but down in Belleville.
Yeah, no, very much so, Lee. And you got to keep it coming. I mean, that's a big part of don't draft for need, draft the best player. Just keep the system full. Keep moving along. We'll see how things go with Tyler Boucher. But you're absolutely right with the overall kind of impact. And hey, honestly, just on paper, if you can go into a summer and you can add and subtract. And it was funny because going into the summer, I said to myself, okay, they need to get rid of Delzato. They need to get rid of Zaitsev. They need to get rid of Murray, and they need to get rid of White. Interestingly enough, the only player I thought could come back is Colin White, but he can't. You know what I mean? Like the only one that really fit into the program, the group, could have played lower in the lineup, but he made too much money. In the case of Zaitsev, it's just, hey, it doesn't work. Coach plays him too much. Delzato was a terrible sign. In the case of Matt Murray, you had to remove him from the group, Lee. And that's just my opinion. Like, it doesn't work. It's not good. You wanted that fresh. So it's not just what you added. It's what you subtracted. And at the same time, finally, you had some financial might to do it. But to be able to add Giroux and DeBrincat with only giving up basically the seventh pick overall, that's the part as you've rolled through a summer here. Now, we'll see what happens with Chychrun. But your ability to add and subtract and tactically have a summer like you ended up having, that's the nice part. Because we had just been accustomed to for too long of all of a sudden a player coming in, and not only does Zibanejad come out, or, you know, Brassard, and oh, but it's a second round pick or other, you know, you always were suspicious every time a move was made.
Yeah.
This was just a really clear and transparent summer. Colin White was an absolute obvious on every level to be bought out. The fact that you could move Matt Murray and not have to attach anything and only pick up 25% of the salary, like I said, it, to me, these are just some really, really positive trends for Ottawa. And I think you have to have a pretty negative kind of backside right now if you don't recognize that this has already been a really nice summer for Ottawa. And if you watch Ridly Gregg yesterday and think, boy, that's not even a player you had to include in a DeBrincat trade.
Yeah.
You know, come on. Like you're pretty fortunate for that. So we'll see how the rest plays out, see what happens with Chychrun. But, yeah, as I said, it's been a lot of positives here in Ottawa this summer. And, hey, let's face it, for all of us covering the team and everybody around, and more importantly, the fan base, it's certainly exciting for them and well-deserved.
Well, I think that's where the excitement comes from, too. It's not only how the young group is coming up together, but, you know, they go out and make these moves. They didn't have to give up any prospects for Alex DeBrincat that were already in their system, and that might allow them to go out and get a Chychrun or somebody else when it comes to making other moves, because their prospect cupboard is pretty full right now. And I think when you start to go down the lineup, Simmer, of adding the Giroux and adding DeBrincat, you're going to get Jake Sanderson in the lineup. Are you able to go out and get another defenseman? Mm. And then who knows where Pinto and Gregg and Lassie Thompson and JBD and some of the other guys might be, because you still have all of your prospects.
Yeah, no, exactly. And also measuring your prospects. And, hey, they say, well, listen, you know, this team has given us one of their top prospects. Well, we don't feel like they measure up against Ridly Gregg. Our next tier of prospects can be X, X, and X. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's a really important evaluation. It's not just, oh, well, I'm getting, hey, I don't care what you're getting from another team. What do we have? Where are you going? And, hey, for any team, and if you're going to be successful at this, and for what I was done, Lee, as you know, as you mentioned, whether it's the lower part of your lineup, any part, guys on entry-level contracts, guys coming through your system like Kastelic, you know, that are able to slide in, that are going to be, you know, basically a fixed cost at a pretty good spot, you know, it's important. And I just don't think there's also anything better than organically going about this. And the fit of, and again, this is where it would kind of become the perfect summer, you know, Claude Giroux as a local player that wants to be here, and it seemed like a seamless transaction, knowing Jake Chychrun is very much on board. The family is from here. Andy Scott, his agent, is from here. He summers here. It's interesting because you think of summer players, and think about Sanford last year. Like, the fella could not hide, you know, his disappointment with coming to Ottawa, and I don't blame him. Now, I don't think he has much passion for the game, but, you know, you look at last summer, from that to Delzato, the things they ended up doing, Gambrell, Gaudette, like, it's just not happening. But it's another thing, it just doesn't feel good, where when you have players that you're making transactions, DeBrincat on the surface appears to be very happy. You know, that's as important as anything, and that's a good spot for Ottawa to be in.
Yeah, and then include the long-term signing of Josh Norris, Matthew Joseph gets a contract, and, you know, you're starting to feel like the group to be together. Now, I know what you're saying, and I completely agree with you. It is hard to be anything but optimistic on the summer that the Ottawa Senators have had. I guess this is, you know, if I'm looking for something to happen in the first bit of the season that I think could go the wrong way, you know, fans are kind of accustomed to thinking that way, right? So this would be my fear, Simmer, of what happens at the beginning of the year. And I'm eager to get your perspective on the pressure that will be on, you know, DJ Smith and Pierre Dorion, for that matter, if this team does not start well, and something that they might do, because it feels like this process, they've gone along and they've made so many good moves here in the summer. Would they rush something to get a defenseman? Would they do something a little bit because of the pressure to win now, as opposed to where it looks like it's going in the next couple of years? Yeah. Where, you know, I don't know. We talked all about the 5 years of unparalleled success and where the team needs to be. I do think there's pressure to be a lot better, but I don't know that they need to win this year. But I think that the general manager and the coach might feel like they need to get off to a very good start and to win now.
Yeah,
so where do you come down with that balance?
Well, no, I mean, it's hardly, you can't measure that. I mean, a lot of that, and as you said, realistically, it shouldn't be a fourth season where ownership expects you to win a Stanley Cup. Now, ownership has given you pretty much a blank slate to do what you can do, but you're right, it's still a process. So if they take the same methodical process that they did in the summertime, if you start off a little bit slow, you wouldn't do anything. Now, you try to maybe change it up, but no, for sure. But that's also a question, Lee, that none of us can answer. And faced with the circumstance, I think responsibly for what Pierre Dorion done, I don't feel like there's been, you know, incredible panic moves. There's been moves that, you know, I go back to Hamonic where kind of scratch my head as to why you end up doing stuff like that. But I have not felt like, oh, my God, this is a sacrifice of the franchise. So I think that part of it, but you're right. It's really hard to measure. I always, in the back of my mind, go back to Dean Lombardi in L.A., and the mandate from the ownership was make the playoffs or you're going to be fired. He made the Jeff Carter for Jack Johnson trade, and as we know, the rest is history. Like, you know, that's a really tough balance and tough to understand. And what will also put some pressure, and this is where, absolutely to your point, there's pressure on the business to recover, and there is certainly a lot of excitement, and I'd like to think ticket sales have been brisk here in Ottawa. But you also understand that starting to win some hockey games, starting to show some real hope, some real emotion, is also going to take that next level. So I think that's also, you know, very important and certainly linked to, because as I said, they have now spent money to try to make money.
Yeah, and I don't want to compare sports because I think it's completely unfair. I do think the Red Blacks, after a few years of not being, you know, not being good, just being awful. New general manager, new quarterback, completely new offense, spent some money. People, like, I told everyone when they said, are they going to be better? I'm like, of course they're going to be better. Like, they might not be Grey Cup better, but of course they're going to be better. Look at the talent that they have. And they're 1-7. Now they lost their quarterback. I get it. But the expectation coming into the year was that after a number of poor seasons, that this team had way more talent, and they were absolutely going to turn this thing around, and 2022 wouldn't be like the last few years. It has not worked out that way. And I wonder the pressure that some people would be feeling, especially the head coach. Look, if this team does not get off the Senators to a very good start, and they find themselves behind the eight ball after the first 15 or 20 games, how much pressure will be on DJ Smith or Pierre Dorion to, you know, stay the course or to make a move?
Well, there's pressure, Lee, but that, hey, it's a results-oriented business, and there should be pressure. But, and I know DJ Smith mentioned at the end of last year, they said, hey, what kind of pressure do you feel going into next year? He said, let me see what my roster is. If I'm DJ Smith and I'm entering year four, Lee, I have now, I assume, learned a lot. And you learn a lot from mistakes. You learn a lot as you grow. He had not been in the National Hockey League very long, so he's a better coach today when he took the job. Well, if I'm set out with this roster right now, what more can I ask for? Sure, there's pressure on me, but there's pressure on everybody. And at the end of the day, you feel like, okay, this isn't. And with the Red Blacks, I don't know. I don't know if LaPolice is a good coach or not, but the excuse can be I don't really have a quarterback. And if I don't have a quarterback, I'm not going to win. Just like the last couple of years with Matt Murray starting in goal, I don't care who you are. But when you look at the pieces in place, I would welcome this, I guess, is what I'm saying. I understand there's pressure, but I also say, listen, if anything ever went wrong and I end up losing my job, what can I end up saying at the end of the day? We put a good team together. Now it's up to me to get a result. It's no longer about, you know, as I say, not Stanley Cup, but I just expect, hey, there's no reason, and I don't know the CFL well enough to gauge it, and I understand what the Red Blacks ended up doing, but by my gauge, you know, the Ottawa Senators should just flat out be a much improved hockey club. It's exactly what that is. I don't know until training camp starts. But I guess my point in summary, Lee, is that I would welcome this if I'm the coach, because I feel like, hey, I'm in a spot here right now where I've got some pretty good weapons. I can go into any building in the National Hockey League right now and feel like we can match up pretty well. Not going to win everyone, but I'm not worried about anybody in the National Hockey League. Now, we'll see on the back end. You know, that's certainly, I'm respectful of that. But with the two-headed monster in goal, with the overall group, with enough on the back end, like I said, would you like that one more piece to kind of all put it into place? Absolutely. But like I said, Lee, you'd have to go into this, and more than anything, just be excited. You know, you're a hockey fan, you're a hockey player growing up, you're coaching, you're managing. You know, this is what it's all about. You're just really pumped about a year. Now, what you can't control are injuries and chemistry, but hey, like I said, I'd just be thrilled if I had an opportunity to be a part of this, only because it really has, on a lot of levels, been a very, very refreshing offseason.
Text comes in here from Dwight in Kanata. Ridley Gregg, makes me want to chant Pageau, Pageau, Pageau all over again. I don't know if they're the exact same player, but I get what you're saying, Dwight. You guys are forgetting, that their text comes in, the greatest move that Pierre Dorion pulled off this past year, trading Nick Paul to Tampa and throwing a monkey wrench into the delusions of the Toronto Maple Leafs. So
yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, Paul eliminating the Leafs. Yeah. At the same time, Matthew Joseph has been refreshing. And as far as Ridly Greig, hey, he's a better player than Pageau was a junior. He will be a better pro. And Pageau was a real nice player. He's also part of the reason why the New York Islanders are in salary cap hell right now. But who doesn't love Pageau? And that ended up being a really, really nice move.
The good ref is in. Good morning, Mr. Simpson. Caught your first 10 minutes last night. Outstanding. Maybe your best since you broke the Carlson trade. Tough questions right out of the gate, and you hit it out of the park. Smooth to the point. Just wanted to say great work, sir.
Yeah.
Tip of the cap.
I think a little sarcasm there, though, right?
I don't think so.
No, I was joking because I was the one that broke that Carlson trade that never happened. That was the one to Tampa Bay.
Oh, well, maybe that was. I don't think the rest of the text.
No. Very kind. Thank you. And, yeah, it was fun. And closed out with Jim Taddy last night. He just said, hey, we had a good broadcast. I said, I got to be honest with you, JT, which I don't know if that's his nickname.
Yeah, do you call him JT?
Yeah, I do. And I just.
I love that you call him that. Maybe nobody else in the world calls him
that. Okay, and what do they call him? Hats or Yes Guy?
Well, he is the Yes Guy, but I would call him Mr. Taddy just from my part. But I think they call him Tats.
Okay.
I think that's what I've heard other people.
Yeah, I go with JT. But I just said to him, listen, if you told me in the mid-80s I'd spend my birthday with Jim Taddy, I said, you know what?
There you go.
Maybe we could invite Bill Bird and Hebsy along. But that was a dream. So he got a kick out of that. So that was a fun night. And he is an absolute legend. And hey, sitting around and watching, and I'm watching the games anyway, Lee, and talking a little bit of hockey and talking prospects. Yeah, pretty easy job. So thank you very much for the compliment. I really enjoyed it.
You're right. Spending your birthday watching World Juniors with Jim Taddy and doing pre- and post-game shows, that's pretty good.
Yeah. No, and these nights, and that's the funny part, Lee. And I know in Edmonton, first of all, it's saturated summertime, but this idea of getting accustomed to warm weather and hockey, well, I think the Tampa Bay Lightning, I think Vegas, I think Carolina.
I'm in, yeah.
I think a lot of people have conditioned us that I don't care, that this is actually a pretty good idea to not be freezing my ass off when I walk out of the rink.
Couldn't agree more.
Like, seriously. Oh. Like, these are not the Boston Garden of the 1980s where it's sweltering hot. You walk in a nice ice hockey rink, you watch a little bit of hockey, you slide out in your shorts, Lee, which I know you love wearing your shorts just like I do. You know what I mean? Like, this is not really any more about what the weather is. Now, time of year can be a little bit, but man, like, seriously, like, I got no problem with this whatsoever.
No, it's the greatest thing ever. And you know what, Dwight, in Kanata, I apologize for not understanding your text more. He texted back in. So my point was, we got Ridly Greig for Jean-Gabriel.
No,
Pageau.
I know. I took it that as well. And also, it's not a slight on Pageau. Like I said, there's certain trades where you're like, you know, and Curtis Lazar for where Formanton was trending, you know, you kind of look at that. But in the case of Pageau, hey, it was a perfect time. What's awesome with Pageau, he's got a great contract, Lee, right? He got paid, you know, so this has been a win-win for everybody involved. And, hey, that's a guy right there that, you know, who didn't love him as an Ottawa center?
Well, hopefully Ridly Greig ends up being a guy that's as beloved as an Ottawa center as Jean-Gabriel Pageau was, and I think still is. We still look back to the memories that he has provided, and I think the journey along the way has been fun to watch other guys like JG Pageau, Lever Sage, Simmer, and Big Red here with you on a Thursday morning. Another look at your traffic, and back with more TSN Mornings on TSN 1200. Welcome back to TSN Mornings here on TSN 1200. Lever Sage in for vacationing JR. Sean Simpson in his regular spot. Big Red in for Matt Hamer. I'm kind of laughing, Simmer, because this song used to play on the drive after Ottawa Senator victories. And only after Ottawa Senator victories. It didn't get played a lot back in 2018, 2019, some of those years. So it was a big day when Cool and the Gang came on the air.
I did not know that, but classic tune from back in the day. So whatever you need to figure out from a victory standpoint, and yeah, it's just like I say, that's big 80s right there, Big Red bringer.
Yeah, love the 80s music so far here today. Just to let people know too, what Cam was mentioning in the traffic. So the Queensway will be shut down starting tonight at 8 o'clock, right through until Monday at 6 a.m. And it'll be shut down between Metcalf and Carling Kirkwood. And that will affect, I'm sure, simmer a lot of people coming to work. Do you take the Queensway in at all from where you're coming from?
No, North Manotick. I slide all the way down River Road, come across to the train yards, grab my coffee. Actually, no, now let me rephrase it. I get on at the Parkway, and I get off at Nicholas. So I guess for tomorrow, I'll slide right across the Parkway. I may go back into South Rockcliffe, get my coffee, and then come all the way down. So, yeah, I think for us, we should be fortunately when we're coming and going tomorrow. But for a lot of people, yeah, that's a big one. They got some serious stuff cooking on there.
Yeah, they do. They're going to replace the Booth Street Bridge this weekend, and they're going to get it all done between tonight at 8 o'clock and Monday at 6 a.m. So, yeah, I mean, just a lot of people going to and from work tomorrow, headed out on the weekend. Just be very aware of some of the alternate routes that you might have to take, because between Metcalf and Carling, completely shut down both ways. So even Cam, who doesn't drive on the Queensway and walks to work, shaking his head going, that's a big one. That is a huge one. So just be aware, and we'll remind you throughout the day today to make sure, especially coming into work on a Friday, it's the last thing you need is to kind of forget about that and either be late, or if you're trying to get home on a Friday, you need to get home as quickly as possible, right? So a lot of detours out there, but just wanted to make sure that people knew that. The Jays didn't lose last night. I thought that was nice.
Yeah, me too.
Sean, postponed between the Baltimore Orioles and the Toronto Blue Jays. They'll make that up on a doubleheader.
Couldn't get out of Baltimore fast enough, so this is actually a reprieve. So hopefully they can get into the science lab and figure out something a little different next time they have to play them. But, yeah, as I say, that had not been a positive for the Blue Jays,
no.
So they'll regroup. And do they head home now? Or they got the Yankees and the Red Sox coming up? Or that's next week, right?
Just trying to get their schedule here in front
they're
of
at home against the Guardians this weekend.
Yeah, cool. So nice little reset, and hopefully some good crowds there, a little home cooking, and get things turned back around.
Did you say you're getting on the bandwagon, Sim? Or I know, was that just because they were in Baltimore and your ties there? Or do you plan on watching some more games going forward?
No, I think I will. It's very close. When the boys are home with us, Maddie, the youngest boy, likes to watch the baseball. So I'll do it. I have a rule, though. I won't watch the entire game. And if by the third inning, the Kikuchi guy is serving up his magic sauce and they're down early, then I'll changer le channel. But I'm feeling it, Cam. And I'll be going more to, once the playoffs come around, it is fun. I like the format that they have right now. So I'll be full bond. But nothing to do really with Baltimore. And Baltimore, when I watch it, first of all, it's somewhat nostalgically, but it's also a bit sad, right, to see that stadium. And they're actually playing some real good baseball. But, the people there, unfortunately, it has just been many, many years of, just a poorly run and poorly owned by the Angelos family.
Yeah, and the metrics say that they will fade out. I don't know that, the metrics mean everything in baseball.
Well, I don't know how you measure metrics, but I'll tell you what. When one club is super confident and it's another club, throw all your metrics and all your other stuff out the window, Lee, as you know. It doesn't matter. Whatever is going on right now, the Baltimore Orioles absolutely love playing the Toronto Blue Jays, and I don't feel like that's going to go away anytime soon.
As far as their starting rotation goes, it is a bunch of unproven guys, and they traded away some of their late-end relievers, looking more towards the future. So I do expect them to fade off, but you never know. They, like you said, they seem to have a little bit of house money going, so we'll see. And
they're just having fun, Cam, right? That's a part of, and that's a... A lot of teams trade guys away at the deadline. Nobody's at your games. But whatever is going on there, it just feels like that they're right in a spot. And I don't know individually from a contract standpoint, but it appears that they're all coming to the ballpark. And, hey, why not have a little fun here? And there's nothing more fun than winning baseball games.
Definitely. Friday night should be fun. Cal Quantrill, Canadian product, will make the start for Cleveland and Toronto. So
is that Paul's son? Paul Quantrill? His son, he pitched for the Toronto Blue Jays. I'm going to guess with a last name like Quantrill.
Yeah, probably trying to expose me. Yeah, actually, didn't
know
that.
Absolutely.
No, I'm not.
They said that last night with Olzelnich, that he's not related on the Latvian team, but they mentioned that's a very common name. I'm going to go if he's Canadian and Paul. Did Paul not settle in the Toronto area as well?
I think he did, along with Ernie Witt?
So, yeah, I thought he's involved with Baseball Canada as well. So, yeah, let's go with that, Lee, because like I say, there can't be a lot of Quantrills out there. And that is a little bit for the Big Red there. If you
you gotta
know the past, Big Red.
Yeah.
If you're gonna be a fan.
That's a blind spot for sure.
No, come on. I didn't know that. I just heard the name. I'm like, how many Quantrills could there possibly be? Yeah. And Paul played and pitched for the Blue Jays. It's like it probably is his son. But man, there was a Steph Logan just retired from the CFL just a few years ago, and watching the game the other night. With the Ottawa Redblacks, his son all of a sudden is returning. And I was telling people, oh, that's Steph Logan's son. I was even telling Duke. Duke's like, no way. Like, there's no chance. Logan retired like 3 or 4 years ago. I'm like, yeah, I know, but he played until his late 30s, like into his 40s, and that is his son. And it was just this, you know, how many athletes' sons and daughters are going to come up here and be a part of, you know, big time sports because they're around it. And we're seeing it here in Ottawa.
Yeah. And you see more and more in a sense of Lee, and you think too. And again, not just saying on the male side, but I use a Burris as an example, both in Hall of Fames. I think Nicole for lacrosse, Henry for football. Chances are, if you're good athletes and you have children, they're going to be athletic. And I think from a hockey standpoint, all the way from Mark Tenorti with Jared Tenorti, the Nylander boys, and I could kind of go on and on. I can still remember them first starting skating for the first time when we were at the Washington Capitals, and my, oh my, it comes so quickly, it goes past. And for people that have been around in the game for a long time, now you get into the following generation. I still remember Paul McDermott retiring and saying, yeah, we're going to go to Sabal Beach and buy a campground. I'm like, what the hell is that going to be?
Nice.
You know, and it's funny to see his son, and where is he from? Sabal Beach.
Yeah.
You know, and it seems like yesterday, Lee, it passes quickly, and you know, very cool to see that. You see with the Kachucks and all the great stories there of them hanging out in St. Louis. So it comes fast and furious, but makes a whole lot of sense when you look at the gene pool.
Well, and you have, Drake Batherson's uncle, Dennis Vial. You have, of course, Jake Sanderson.
That's where he got all his skill from.
From, yeah.
No, and, but even dad being, dad we had in Portland was a good player. You look at the Norris, half Canadian, half, you know, dad played in the National Hockey League, played in the Olympics.
Just being around it.
Oh, absolutely. And just as a Saley, I mean, you know, Ridley Gregg, both mother and father. And I tell that funny story I told on the air last night. Todd Lushko, who played in St. John with Greg Ridley's dad, mentioned about they played a Christmas hockey game. And all of a sudden they're out there. And Mark was a really good skater, good skill guy, but not a hard hockey player, Lee. And the wife is out there just running everybody. And Todd always tells the story that, hey, certainly got the talent from dad, but as far as a feisty edge, that's all mom. Like, that's a combination pack right there. I love that story.
A couple of texts coming in. Yes, Cal is Paul's son. They are from Port Hope. Love this text, too. I don't know if it was really me taking the side swipe, but Leaf fan here on the radio. First thing I hear is Lee taking a side swipe at the Leafs' delusions because Nick Paul scored both goals in Game 7. Thanks, Lee. Good morning to you as well. Well, if I could make your morning by reading one text that came in about Nick Paul scoring a couple of goals, I didn't even mention the two goals. So I just read the text. But if we could make that sort of an impact on Leaf fan, Kyle Dubas' job on the line.
Yeah, and you talk as well, Lee. Like, I from a dream season, I think we'd all be ready for it and embrace it no matter what ended up happening. The thought of ever Ottawa this year getting into a playoff and facing Toronto in a first round, how much fun that would be. That would be, man. And as I said, such a different role now where Ottawa being a younger team, although Toronto wasn't a younger team, but Ottawa being the better team, there wouldn't be a lot of pressure on the Ottawa Senators. And, man, oh, man, that would be epic. Nice little warm weather out front of the old CTC and enjoying that. That would be a blast.
Can you imagine the Leafs and the Sens in the first round? Mm-hmm. So Ottawa has, I mean, when you get to the playoffs, everyone wants to win. But I think if you're able to take a step back and realize that they were in the playoffs.
Yeah, for sure.
Playing the Toronto Maple Leafs, that's probably a win in itself.
Yeah.
And then you would have, as you said, not as much pressure. Mm-hmm. And imagine, you know, Matt Murray lining up at the other end of the ice in game one of the playoffs. Mm-hmm. And it does kind of feel like, you know, those Ottawa teams back in the early 2000s that should have won. I know Toronto was an older team, but the window for them to be the great teams were stifled by the Toronto Maple Leafs. And imagine Ottawa reversing the role where the Leafs feel, and I don't know how you feel about the Leafs and their, you know, their window or however long that they might be one of the better teams in the league, but it feels like it's going, like it's coming to a close more than it's opening.
Oh,
and
go ahead, Lee. Sorry.
Well, just because of the contracts and because of some of the things that they've done already, I know that teams can retool and you can kind of figure it out, but kind of feels like the Leafs need to win here.
Here's a simple fact with the Leafs. Okay, what has happened with the Leafs? Where has the growth been in the Leafs last few years? And that's not to take away, Lee. They were a hell of a team last year. Right now, you have, you know, arguably the second best player in the National Hockey League, Austin Matthews. You have a great complement in Marner. You have Johnny Tavares, who's headed in the wrong direction. Still a nice player, but he's not the same player you got from a few years ago.
Yeah.
I wouldn't take Nylander on my team because he never shows up. But the moment they traded Nazem Kadri and brought back Kerfoot and Barry, on a yearly basis, the team has gotten worse and worse. There's no doubt about it. Jake Muzzin, a hit away. The depth with the forward group, losing Mikheyev, kind of go through the rest of the group. Well, of course it is. They're just not as good a team. Now, I respect the fact that Austin Matthews is an absolute, look like Eric Lindros when I watch him this year. But each year, they've gotten progressively worse. The window is getting closer to closing, and they have gone down an absolute, like, crapshoot with this goaltending thing. And to your point, though, and I would say from a Sens perspective, not a negative, but if Matt Murray, first of all, gets him to the playoffs and is a starting goaltender opening night, that means he stayed healthy and had a nice season for them.
Yep.
And boy, oh boy, when he's motivated and he's won a couple of Stanley Cups. But to the point of the Leafs, oh, absolutely it has, Lee, because they quite simply, they started, you know, and Florida's headed down this path as now as well. They have started doing things without ever having won a round of a playoff that have actually taken away from the group versus add to it.
Right.
You can't look at the Toronto Maple Leafs and say, well, they're better than they were 3 years ago. Best second-best player in the game. Mitch Marner right with them. Well, the rest of it, Morgan Rielly, good player, not going to get any better. The rest of the pieces around them. So, yeah, absolutely agree with what you're saying. And, you know, the other part that is not matched up, they've brought almost next to nothing through their system. You know, everything that they're doing is, oh, this guy, what a great signing. And I do like Bunting, but I do respect the fact of the Colin Greenings of the world can play with Spets and McCullough and have a great year. Bunting's a nice player. Nice compliment to world-class hockey players. Hey, the rest of it has just been a moving around the parts. And quite simply, I'll go in summary again. Yeah, absolutely, Lee. As far as a window, yeah, they better win in the next 2 years. Otherwise, they're going into a full rebuild.
Remember the hype from Nick Robertson? Last year, 2 years ago?
Has that been a little bit injury-related, though, Lee?
I think so, but man, that kid came up and it was like, oh, he's going to be the next wave. But
when you have so few prospects, and I do like him though, because it was a nice pick, but that's what happens, Lee. And that's what are you doing in Montreal? You know, you fixate on, you know, Roy had 60 goals and he may be a good player. I did most of that last night, but no, that's what happens, Lee. Like they, you know, Sandin comes in and then it's the next guy. And it's also the excitement of the Toronto market. But like I said, you just don't have a lot of players. Now, they've ended up with a real unfortunate situation with their first-round pick a couple of years ago. The Russian kid has cancer, right? You know, they're circumstance. But overall, it just, you know, they've just been basically trying to find value contracts. And every year, like I said, from a roster standpoint, they have gotten progressively worse.
So a couple of texts coming in here from Leafs fans, again. Yeah, the Leafs aren't that good. Only top five team in the league. Terrible. And Dubas' job on the line, LOLOL. Do you think his job's on the line? I do. If their goaltending craps out, I do think Kyle Dubas' job is on the line.
Yeah, no, I think he and Sheldon Keefe, their jobs are both on the line because they need results. But, God, I thought for surely that would have been this year. And I think Kyle Dubas is a very intelligent guy. I really like Sheldon Keefe as a coach, but I honestly look at, and you go back to, I always say this all the time, I think he's learned a lot on the job. He's probably better at right now. What he doesn't have is a do-over, and of all people, I won't even say Pierre Dorion, because it looks like he's gotten a chance to basically make up for mistakes, build a good roster. Hey, Joe Sakic, you know, he did two rebuilds. Could have easily been fired. If he wasn't Joe Sakic, he probably would have been. But he had an opportunity to learn, brought another wave through, won a Stanley Cup. In the case of the Toronto Maple Leafs, that's not the case. They have made mistakes of, and it goes back to the Marner contract. It goes back to the term on Matthews. It goes back into, and I didn't mind the Tavares trade or signing, but you had to win then. And since then, like I said, the trading of Kadri to kind of the deterioration of the roster, the loss of Hyman, the attachment of Connor Brown to Zaitsev. I can go on. First round pick for Marlowe. Blame that on Lou. That's fine. But there has just been a slow deterioration of the roster. And it really, at the end of the day, and part of it, you can make a little excuse with COVID, but it quite simply has been the mismanagement of the salary cap, where they have paid the big four, and especially in the case of Marner and Bowen to that, and a good player, but in the combination of where Tavares is headed, they have just lost all their depth, and they have not supplied. For having 200,000 amateur scouts, they have not.
Is that the number?
Well, it's close to. But they have not. They have not done a very good job. Like I said, they're, you know, they always are hauling in the European free agent. Quite simply, through the drafts and the pick they have not drafted very well.
Text comes in, no different than any other top team moving parts around. The players they let go are no better than who they have now.
Yeah, well, I disagree. I think Zach Hyman, as far as Bunting, Bunting's been a nice find. You're missing Connor Brown. Well, as far, who is better than Kadri? Nobody. Mikheyev is another player that's walked out the door. And on the back end, like I said, Muzzin has been a warrior, but he's a spot there where certainly health is a bit of an issue. And overall, I agree. And certainly in goaltending, to go from Freddie Anderson to Jack Campbell, on paper, okay. But knowing the background of Samsonov with Washington, knowing the health of Matt Murray, yeah, you need to go home and pull over, because you've obviously hit the pops here early on a Thursday morning.
One last thing just about the Leafs. Would you expect Auston Matthews to be a Leaf after his contract runs out?
You know, I don't expect him not to be Leaf. I mean, I have no idea. People keep talking about what I don't expect him to ever do is go to Arizona. Do I see him as the type that would like to play in a New York or playing in L.A.? I feel that for sure. But I also feel like he really enjoys being in Toronto Maple Leafs. He's been a great player. He's embraced the pressure. So I'll go 60-40 right now, Leaf. Would I be shocked if he goes somewhere else? No. But we're going to get a pretty clear indication next summer, right, where they try to extend him out. And also interesting to see where Nathan MacKinnon wants to be the highest paid player in the National Hockey League, reports out of Denver. So I think a lot of contracts here along with Pastrnak. And in the case of Auston Matthews, where do you go salary-wise? You know, he's already at a good spot right now, but I'm sure he would like to look at, what's McDavid at, 12.5?
I think so.
Yeah, unrestricted, probably looking for $13 million with Auston Matthews. So. Yeah, so as I said, Lee, I don't get the sense that he's got a foot out the door, but we'll see how it plays out.
How do you feel about Nathan MacKinnon saying that?
Oh, I don't have any problem with that. No problem. Like I said, he has delivered. Also, and again, he signed the contract, but he has lived up to it. He's a top five player in the National Hockey League. And what I think he also recognizes is that he needs to push the salary grade as the salary cap will start to move up. It's been a little bit stagnant, so I think he feels some responsibility. But I wouldn't say making up for lost money, but I don't have a problem with it for where he's at age-wise and where his game is at.
Yeah, $6.3 million he'll make this coming year, again, at 26 years old. And he is, you know, one of the top five player in the league. So I get what he's saying. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure that he deserves to be the highest paid player in the league.
Yeah, I think if you looked at it now, how do you rate it versus McDavid? But I would say 8 times 12 is realistic. $96 million. I think Nathan MacKinnon deserves that. And again, salary cap should start going up here in the next couple of years, Lee. So yeah. Don't have a problem with that.
Well, he's going to get paid. Yeah. There's no doubt about that as he enters into the final year of his deal. And of course, Colorado Avalanche winning the Stanley Cup. We'll come back, talk a little bit more about the World Juniors. Canada gets off to a really nice start last night against Latvia, and they're back in action tonight against Slovakia. 5:30, the pregame. 6 o'clock, drop of the puck. We have it for you here on TSN 1200.